a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio for tonight. I am so glad that you could listen. We appreciate you making time for us on your Sunday evening, and we appreciate you being here to join the conversation. We're live tonight, and our phones are open at 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. Recently, I've been starting my training to become an abstinence speaker in the public schools in my home state in Georgia. And it's been an interesting journey. I'm midway through my training. And if you have experience with teaching youth about abstinence, or if you're somebody who has come through an abstinence training and you're living on the other side of that, you have something to say about purity and how it's taught, I would love to have your voice in this conversation. 800-811-3003 is our number. Of course, when you're in the public schools, you can't bring a faith-based message. You have to bring a values-based message, as well as a message based on the empirical evidence. It's called evidence-based curriculum. And choosing the best is the curriculum that I'm being trained in. But already, as I've been observing, there was at least one student in one of the schools who objected that you're not teaching us what we need to know as to how to be safe while we're sexually active. Keep in mind, I think we were in a ninth grade classroom, I'm pretty sure. And that attitude represents, I think, a backlash against purity culture and against the purity movement, against abstinence education, that is rooted in some really, really interesting dynamics. And I would love to talk with you about that tonight as we roll along with our guest. She is an abstinence educator, and more than that, she's taken it beyond learning someone else's curriculum to now actually crafting a curriculum that is in use with young women. And we'll tell you about that as we go. But one of the things, and as we introduced you to our guest, but one of the things that I think is so important for us to keep in mind as we're talking about purity and abstinence and what is really God's best for us. Saw the movie Philomena, finally. And if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. The Academy Award nomination, so well deserved, for Judi Dench and the rest of the cast of Philomena. It's based on a true story from the Magdalen laundries in Ireland, where young girls would be sent if they were pregnant, dropped off, forced into labor in the laundry or other places in the convent, and generally made to stay there for a course of 4 years to pay back what was needed to see a pregnancy through. And then the children were adopted out against the will of the mother, although they signed papers. But a very difficult and tragic set of circumstances for Philomena, but ultimately a story of triumph and deeply inspiring story. And what I love about it is that Philomena was very clear about what was sin and what wasn't, and what her obligation was to do about her sin. She never gave in to shame. She had a very fine radar for when shame was in place, and she rejected it at every turn, and then turned around and forgave those who would have shamed her. Such a huge, huge role model for this whole question about purity and what to do and how to handle things when we fall short. I really urge you to see it. It's an incredibly important landmark of a film, not only for the history that it tells, but for the way that it shows how we are to respond when religious institutions become corrupt And maybe they, and yes, the organization she ended up in, it was based in shame. They shamed the girls because of their sin. And everything that flowed out of it, all of the abuses, were based on this notion that you must shame people. So I'm sure some of you may have had an experience of being shamed before sexual behavior, sexual choices. I'd love to hear your voice in this conversation tonight as we go. 800-811-3003 is our number. 800-811-3003. I don't expect you to call and say, I was so ashamed because. What I'm talking about here are teaching methods, the ways that correction is dealt out, the culture surrounding how to uphold a purity as a value among not just young women, but among young men. Was it even taught to you as a young man? 800-811-3003. Tonight's guest is Camille Cates. She is a veteran of youth ministry, and she served alongside her husband in full-time youth ministry for a number of years, including some service overseas with non-American students. And she taught abstinence in the public school system, as well as parent programs for a 4 or 5 year stint. And she's been a lay counselor with Healing Hearts Ministries International, ministering to women for over a decade. Camille, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.
Hi, Kim. Thanks so much for having us, having me on Cradle My Heart, so that I can share my story and I can share about Healing Hearts Ministries. A ministry that is really near and dear to my own heart, and especially about our new youth division and the materials that we have to offer. So thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Well, I consider you an expert in this, and I think that you're sort of, if I may, in the next wave of experts. There's a whole group now of people who are in their mid to late 20s who were maybe the first generation coming through Purity Balls or True Love Waits or other curricula, trying to emphasize purity, trying to, you know, establish right. young men and young women as, you know, what godly behavior is. What is that standard? And there's a real backlash. Right. And so I'm excited about your approach because I think that there's very little to object to. There's very little. I mean, it's a very comprehensive approach. So, but share a little bit as we get started about your own story and how you found Healing Hearts. And before we go to the break, we've got about a 3-minute segment. So maybe the short version or the first chapter or two okay. of your story.
Okay. That sounds great. I grew up in a church. I came to a saving faith in Christ at 12. I was at a youth camp. And I guess the short version would be I knew it was a genuine salvation. I knew what Christ had done for me. I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. And but I went home from camp, and I didn't really know what else to do with Jesus and this new relationship that I had with him. So I just kind of sat in the pew and did the churchy thing. And I think when you talk to a lot of people who were raised in the church or had their salvation experiences growing up in the church, that's kind of a common story. And I didn't really have a whole lot of one-on-one discipleship. I grew up with all these truths, hearing the truth that the Bible says that sex is for marriage. The way that I heard it, and it's just funny how our hearts are, the way that I heard it was the Bible says don't have sex until you're married. And sometimes when I talk to teenagers, I just laugh because they're like, oh, you know, you're just here to tell us don't have sex. And I'm like, no. And that's not what the Bible says, but the Bible says there's a design and a plan for God that God gave us in sexuality, and that's to be saved for marriage. That's God's best for us. And so, anyway, I just had this idea and knew that God's word says, you know, you're supposed to save sex for marriage. And I committed to that. But I, you know, having a whole lot of sexual conversations was not common. In my house, we didn't talk a lot about God's design for sexuality, and so that left me to the source of my friends, and to find out through my peers who didn't really know much more than I did about the topic. And now, unfortunately, This generation has worldwide access through the internet to find out information. So really didn't have a lot of that good knowledge growing up and going deeper, having not just the talk about sex with my parents, but a conversation that was lifelong. So to me, that was a big difference. And that led to me giving in and to pressures when I was in high school and having dating relationships, giving in to the pressure and having sexual activity, starting having sex when I was 15.
Okay, Camille, I'm going to take a quick break here and let that settle in because that's a story that many people resonate with. But what happened? You know, I mean, where do we go? Is it possible that you escaped without any consequences? Can we just say that that's such a common experience we shouldn't even be concerned about it? Camille Cates is our guest tonight, and we'll be back after a short break. And the phones are open, and we'd love to have your voice in the conversation. 800-811-3003 is our number. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Join us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is where the healing begins.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
So I promise to be true to you, to live my life in purity.
To speak to high school and middle school assembly last month, and I asked the students there if any of them had ever heard of a song that included some kind of sexual content, and of course every hand in the room went up. There were about 100 students there, and then I asked them if they had ever heard of a song that had purity as the content, if they could even think of one. And we had prizes, okay, and no one could think of a song. That one was I Promise by Jackie Velasquez. We've got to go all the way back to 1996 to find it. There are a few others, but purity doesn't get nearly the play that being active does. And one of the people that I know who's out to change that is our guest tonight, Camille Cates. Now, Camille made some decisions as a teenager that she was in the midst of telling us about before the break. If you just joined us, she said she was saved at the age of 12, but incompletely discipled, if that's a way to say it, Camille, because you didn't really know what that meant in terms of what you were supposed to be doing, right? So we made that decision, made that choice at 15 to become active.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't very long before I became pregnant. And, you know, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were very active in our church. And, you know, I was surprised because my mom came to me and she said, Camille, do you want to have an abortion, when she found out that I was pregnant? And I just, you know, it's like it's the same thing with, you know, knowing what the Bible says about sex and saving sex for marriage. I knew what the Bible said about abortion. And I told my mom, I said, no, I don't want to have an abortion. I want to keep my baby. And so my parents supported that decision. But, you know, Kim, I really felt like the statistic. I mean, I was the girl who was pregnant in high school, walking down those the school halls, and I tried really hard, worked really hard, and graduated early from high school, and had my daughter later that summer, my daughter Lauren. But I was that statistic, and the guy that had fathered the baby with me, he didn't want anything to do with us and was out of the picture. And so I still had this heart struggle. I was really craving relationships I had for a long time and the attention that I saw other girls get when they were in a relationship. But now as a little bit older and I had a baby, and I thought, I want somebody not just for myself but also for my daughter. I want to be a family. And so I began looking for a relationship, but because my heart hadn't changed and I hadn't really grown, I made the same choices. And so I became sexually active. I found a guy that started dating with, and we became sexually active, and I became pregnant again. And this time, my theology changed. And for those who may not be familiar with that term, that means my thoughts of God, the thinking or the study of God. And I just didn't know what we were going to do. I thought, oh, how are we going to raise two babies? And we're really young. But we talked about getting married, and I had tossed around the idea of abortion a little bit. I was working really hard. I was working some part-time jobs, and I was going to school full-time in college. We didn't really get to live out that plan further because something tragic happened. This boyfriend, one night while he was babysitting my daughter Lauren, we found out later on through the course of events in the evening that he had sexually assaulted and shaken her to death. And it just shook my world. I had never anticipated those consequences of my choice, but of his choices too. And I remember we were up at the hospital, and the doctors had told us what had happened to her. And my parents knew that I was pregnant with this man's baby, and they just had really encouraged me, you have to have an abortion now. So 4 days after my daughter's funeral, I went to an abortion clinic and had an abortion. And after that, my world just spiraled downward and really left the church. Talk about shame. I not only had a lot of shame from my choices to be sexually active to begin with, but also now from the abortion and the secrecy of that. So I lived that way for a while. But because I was saved and the Lord lived in me, he just said, here and no further, and met me at a point where I was just really sick of the life that I was living in, the consequences and the emotional consequences and the mental consequences. And when I'm in the classroom, I talk about those a lot because I feel like a lot of times these young people are only hearing the physical consequences if they get pregnant or they get an STD or things like that. And that's where you hear these talks about condoms and teach us to be safe. But they're not thinking about things like their memories that they're making with people that they will never be able to forget because there's no delete button for the brain. What about their heart? There's no heart condom. Their future, their reputation, those things, they are more than just their body. And so, the emotional and the mental consequences were just so devastating for me. So I had that downward spiral. But like I said, the Lord was gracious to me, and he brought a young man back into my life whom I had grown up with in church and knew my background with my daughter. But I thought, he doesn't know anything about my abortion. But he had just graduated from seminary with a youth degree, a youth ministry degree, and he had come back home, and we were hanging out as friends, and he told me one night that he had feelings for me, and I thought, oh, that's great, because, here's this godly man. I knew he was a virgin. I knew that he was sexually pure and had saved himself for marriage, but I thought, I don't deserve him. And I would wreck his future for what he's headed off to. So, again, the shame's coming into play. And he knew about my daughter, and he knew about my sexual past, but I didn't think he knew about the abortion. But God, in his sovereignty, knew that young man would need to know. And I remember one night he just looked at me and he said, you know, I have feelings for you. And I think he sensed my hesitation. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, Camille, I know about your abortion and I love you anyway. And it just shocked me. And I went home that night and I just thought, what in the world? And I just really felt clearly upon my heart all that I had grown up and learned about the Lord, and just sensing him, the God who was my creator, speaking to my heart and saying, you know what, you know, that young man, he has saved himself. He's kept himself pure sexually and emotionally and mentally, and you haven't in those areas, and you are a sinner. And I'm a holy God. And just like that, that young man has saved himself for you sexually and wants to be with you anyway. So I'm a holy God and I'm pure and you're a sinner, but I love you and I want to be with you anyway.
Oh, so inspiring, Camille. And I really appreciate you sharing the story. It's a dramatic story and hard to even imagine. I can't say that I can put myself in your shoes, but I will say this. What's so striking to me is that you don't justify the abortion, even though this man had murdered your daughter. And I think that's a message that I really want to underline and I really want people to hear. Because, you know, we hear about difficult cases, rape, incest.
Right.
Here,
right.
You find yourself in a circumstance, and you were how old? You were still immature, but how old were you?
Yeah, I was about 17 or so at the time, 17, 18 at the time. And, yeah, I was lost.
And you make this decision with your parents urging.
Yes.
So tell me about the aftermath of that decision for you, because obviously this person was a, you know, his behavior was criminal, and yet you regret aborting that child. Tell me about that.
I do. You know, that was a really hard hard thing to go through, and looking back, you know, that baby, you know, I feel like I can identify so many times with women who have been raped, because they were sinned against. You know, they were violated. Something was done to them that they had no control over. And that's what happened in my life. But yet here I was pregnant with this baby who had done nothing and was a life that God had created. And looking back, I actually had this thought just a few months ago, and I think I had been listening to somebody else's story. And I thought, you know, God, in your sovereignty, one of the plans that you could have had for that baby was for him to grow up and him to have a testimony that glorified you, and for us both to be sharing what an amazing God that we believe in and we serve and how redemptive he is of the I love Isaiah 61 talks about how he gives us beauty for ashes. And, you know, he could have used that life just as much as mine, and to bring him glory and honor. So, those are some of the things that I look back on and I regret. But God brought me to a really interesting place. I really struggled in my marriage. The first 3 years that we were married, I thought I wanted to have another baby very quickly. And I was living under this fear that a lot of post-abortive women do, that God's not going to let me have
another
baby.
I'm going to interrupt you because this
sure.
is a really important point, and I want to give it all the time that it deserves. So we're going to take a short break. And I urge you to join our conversation at 800-811-3003. Maybe you want to support and give encouragement to our guest, Camille Cates, for the bravery of her story, for the way in which she has allowed God to turn that tragedy into a triumph. 800-811-3003. She's now engaged in teaching young women and young men how to live godly lives. Join us, won't you? This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Back with more of Camille Cates after this.
seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Just want to give you a heads up that there is an event coming up on Tuesday, this coming week on May the 6th. It's called the Irreplaceable Movie, and that's the website, irreplaceablethemovie.com. And it's a production of Focus on the Family, having to do with the irreplaceable role of fathers. There's a little clip from one of the aspects of the movie with Frederica Matthews Green.
Think about a woman who's in a situation where she's poor, she's unmarried, she's young, everything is against her, but the father of the child says to her, I love you, I want to marry you, I want to raise this child with you. That woman is not going to have an abortion. It doesn't really matter what other things she doesn't have in life. If she has, the father of the child to stand by her. And on the other hand, if she has everything she needs, but the man says, I don't want you. It's not my kid. If he abandons her, if he says, I'll break up with you unless you have an abortion, which does happen, then that's a child that really is in danger. We see this reflected in the language of the pro-choice movement. It's my life, my right, my decision, my choice. You hear all those first-person singulars. That is the isolated I, the woman all alone. Kind of turning it into a consolation prize. At least I have autonomy, when what she really has is abandonment.
Irreplaceable, the movie. It's a one-time event that's coming up on May 6th at theaters around the country, and then it's going to be the launch of a curriculum as well. I'm excited about it because they pinpoint the life issue as one of the most important issues. And so I'm going to try to be there. I'm going to try my best to be there, and perhaps we'll get a review of that one to you for next week's program. Tonight we're talking with Camille Cates. If you're just joining us, she is the author of First Love, a Bible study for young women. And she also has lots of ministry experience with Healing Hearts, which I think started as post-abortive ministry, Camille, but has now expanded to many, many other areas of ministry. Is that right?
That's right. We minister to people using the Word of God and showing them that the Bible actually really has real answers for real life, and especially hurts, which a lot of, people in our culture are rejecting now. They're saying, oh, the Bible doesn't have anything to say about that, but they don't know what it mm-hmm. really has to say. So we minister to people who are hurting from various life hurts. We have a lot of people who have come to us with sexual abuse backgrounds or domestic violence, or maybe it's a divorce they've been through or some kind of life loss. And they sure. can find any of our materials online at healinghearts.org.
And, you know, what I think is so important, and for me, I had a different curriculum, but when I went through a post-abortion healing group, it's processing these sort of unconscious fears that, well, something is going to be wrong with the baby if I'm ever being blessed with another pregnancy. You know, it
right.
takes a lot of processing for some of these feelings and thoughts and irrational fears to surface. Talk about what you went through then, now that you were in a stable relationship with a godly man who had saved himself for you.
Right. So my husband and I had been married about 3 years. And like I said before, it was really rocky because I had this longing to have a child again. And I had lived under this fear that I wasn't going to be able to get pregnant. And so we did, after 3 years, we got pregnant with our oldest daughter now. And but then I was afraid that she would be born with some kind of physical deformities or something would be wrong. Like, God was still not going to let up on that abortion experience. And so I found myself, I was actually pregnant with my daughter, and I went to a women's conference. And Healing Hearts Ministries was there. They had a booth. And I just thank God today that nobody was there at the time. I could just go and be free to pick up some of the literature because I still didn't, nobody knew. And so I didn't want to be seen at the post-abortion table picking up literature. So I grabbed it and read through it quickly in the bathroom and just thought, this is what I need. And to me, the difference, I haven't been through a lot of other materials, but going through the Healing Hearts Bible study, when I went through it, I knew forgiveness. I grew up in a good old Southern Baptist church, and I was raised to know that God is gracious, that there's forgiveness in Christ. So I wasn't still living under any fear that God wasn't going to forgive me. It was more of the consequences and wrestling with the hurt in my life. So I thought, you know, I want to go through this Bible study. This is why I found this ministry. So when I got through the Bible study, Kim, God had just done a complete cleansing work because it was my heart. It used God's word and just really brought home the gospel of Christ in a way that just cleaned every area of my heart. So while it addressed my abortion, it also addressed things that had happened with my daughter's murder and other things in my life. So it dealt with, you know, addressing bitterness and anger and depression, anxiety, you know, those kind of things that we really struggle with in our heart from various losses. So it was just a complete work. And my husband was so funny because when I got done with the Bible study, he looked at me and he said, "You're a different woman." And he meant it in a good way. And I was just so thankful he could literally tell the difference in what God's word had done in my heart. So and we offer those materials either in a small group format. If there's a trained leader in the area, you can go online to look at that. Or we offer the Bible study online. We'll pair you up with somebody if you're post-abortive who is also post-abortive. So they've been there. They've walked. And they walked through our Bible study. So you could go to healinghearts.org to find more information on those adult studies.
Awesome. So tell me about First Love. Tell me about your inspiration for writing this and working now with young women in the prevention side.
Well, you know, after being in youth ministry for so long and seeing, you know, we're teaching these kids great biblical truths about sexuality and about you know, their body is the temple. They hear that a lot. Flee sexual immorality. They hear those verses. And then when I got into abstinence education, I was going in the public school system and also learning the devastating effects of STDs. Oh, my word, I had no idea. You know, the statistics are that 1 million girls each year get pregnant, but 4 million teens get an STD every year. And so I thought, you know, I don't know if our kids in the church really know a lot of this information. And, you know, the First Love Bible study is not a purity curriculum. I just kind of want to lay that out there. It addresses God's design for sexuality, but it also talks about marriage and relationships. But even more than that, the biggest thing that it gets to is your relationship with Christ. And what is it that you're putting first in front of him? So I know this is a little side note, but it does address things like self-injury and eating disorders, the influences of media and drugs and alcohol. What if you're struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, anxiety? So we really just want young people to see, you know, you guys, if you're putting anything else above Christ, whom you were created for, he is your purpose, he is your identity, you are who he was made for. Anything else gets in first place besides him, things in your life are going to be out of order. And that's sin, but, you know, and Christ saves us from sin, but we still wrestle with sin every day, even as Christians, because we still live on this planet and we have sin to deal with in our own hearts. And so it really walks them through. It's for either moms or a female mentor in their life to walk them through and disciple them, give them those answers, give them a platform to ask questions. You know, how many times did you have a question and you were like, I don't, you know, we're in class, we're in Sunday school, or we're in church. I can't ask this question that I have in the middle of group. So it gives them that
okay, sure,
place to do that.
You know, Camille, it's interesting to me. as you're talking about all the different ways that young women can be ensnared, I'm thinking that, you know, the root issue, it sounds like, is valuing oneself, is, you know, a healthy self-love, a healthy self-worth, if you will. And yet, when I have talked with people who are engaged in this purity culture backlash, as I call it right now, they're offended by that, that this idea that, you know, with, you know, waiting on sex until marriage is an act of self-respect, they say is a shaming message. How would you respond to that?
I think it goes back. They need to know their design, and the worth that we have, that the Bible talks about, is that we are all created in His image. That is what gives us worth and value. But we're fallen in that image, and so, you know, in Christ we have a way to be being remade into that image that reflects who God is. But so it really goes back to helping them understand the design. And an analogy that I give students is that if somebody gave me an iPad, that's an expensive gift. It has a purpose, it has a design, it has a function. Now, if I took that iPad and I put it in and said, you know what, this is a great iPad, I'm going to use it as a doorstop. And I put it next to my door, and every time the door hit would come open, it would be hitting that iPad. It would be cracking it. It would be doing damage to what it was meant to do. So when I pick that up and I try and use it like it was designed to do, it's probably not going to work right or at all. And I liken that to our sexuality. God has a design for that. So when we step out of or use that, use our bodies, our hearts, and our minds sexually in a way that goes against His design, it's going to do some damage to it. It's going to affect how we think about sex. We're going to think about it in a selfish way instead of a giving way that we're supposed to give to our spouse in sex. It's going to affect our emotions. We're going to feel used, or we're going to feel like we're using somebody. Even with girls sit there and say, well, guys are dogs. They're just using me for my body. And I say, okay, ladies, but wait. How many of you guys are using these gentlemen for your emotional needs? So outside of God's design, people are using the other person when they're having sex, and that hurts, honestly. So, you know, they're using something that was created and gifted to us as a good gift. And I really hit that with my students all the time. I was like, sex is awesome. It's great. I'm married. You know, I can enjoy it. I can tell you it's the best. But if you take it outside of that design and you misuse it, you're probably going to have some damage. Now, the cool thing about Christian students is you can say, you know what, I can take it back to the manufacturer and he can fix it. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, we know the designer,
sure,
and he
sure
can fix that in Christ. And so it may take some time. It's going to take a lot of work, but he can redeem it and he can fix it. But, you know, so that's kind of the way that I like to talk to teens about it when they're sitting there saying that we're trying to hold them back from something. It's like, no, you guys, we're trying to show you that you can experience it the best when you use it in this context. So that's Camille, how I like to present it to them.
Awesome. Camille Cates is our guest. We'll take another short break, and then we'll be back. And our phones are open for you tonight, 800-811-3003. Camille is the Youth Director of Healing Hearts Ministries International. Back after this.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
is Cradle My Heart Radio. Tonight we're talking about abstinence education. We're talking about purity. We're talking about pursuing a life that values yourself as well as romantic partners. And I should, when I was talking about Jackie Velasquez having a song in 1996, well, that song we just heard, Love is Waiting, is by Brooke Fraser. That came out in 2006. So, gosh, we're only 8 years out on that one. We need, Christian artists, we need you to reinforce this message that love songs can be about loving one another enough to wait. Camille Cates is our guest tonight, and she has written a Bible study for young women called First Love. And Camille, I want to talk with you about the role of parents in this last segment. We have only about 8 or 9 minutes left here. But you're engaged in doing conferences for moms and daughters together. You're also, you got your finger on the pulse of what's happening with homeschool kids and the serious life issues that are happening there. You know, just because you're at home doesn't mean you're sheltered these days. Talk about the importance of parents in this journey for teens and young adults.
Yeah, the role of parents, and I know you, some parents hear this over and over again, that we are the go-to source for our kids and that they look to us more than anyone. And even in this day and age, that's true. And I think part of that is just God's ordaining authority on the parents. And so the ministry, when we created the First Love curriculum, we really wanted to be able to equip moms or, even sisters. Maybe they don't have a mom in their life that's active, but, you know, really having them give them tools to help them. So, you know, equipping parents, helping them know that they can do this, they can have these conversations. When I'm in the classroom, sometimes I'll kind of do a quick survey and I'll talk about, you know, it's awkward to talk about sex with your parents and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but how many of you are having a regular conversation? And I may get 2 or 3 hands out of 30. And so, and I don't know that that's a whole lot different in the church. Hopefully our thing is to try and get parents to have that conversation, quit thinking of just having the talk. You know, so many things we want to be one and done. This is not something that we can do that with. It's too valuable. I think that if these parents were having the conversations with their kids, you know, maybe it is a song that comes up on the radio and it brings up a topic. If they've already been discussing biblical sexuality, that conversation, they can segue right into, hey, what do you think about that lyric? You know, or what's that say, or what does God's word say about that? What do you think about that? Does that sound like they're respecting each other and that they're helping each other or that they're using each other? So, the role for parents is vital, and a good ministry will equip them and come alongside them and not try and take that authority or that job away from them. And that's really what we want to do, is help equip those moms and dads to do a hard work. It's hard. It's hard to talk to you. I have my own teenager. I do this for a living, and I'm like, you guys, it's awkward, and I do this for a living to talk to my own kid about this topic. But it's good because we have that openness for her to ask me those questions. And so I think parents should be equipping themselves. They need to know what's out there in media. They need to always be educating themselves. What's the latest and greatest thing that young people are going to? And they need to take that back and say, okay, what does God's word say about this? How can I get help in knowing how to handle this topic with my teen?
Sure. Well, and so Camille, give us the website once more. And of course, we do have it linked at cradlemyheart.org. But if someone is not able to get to their computer right away, just want to jot down, what's the best way to access your resources at Healing Hearts Ministries?
It's healinghearts.org. And again, they can buy the youth materials, the Bible study and the Leader's Guide online at our store. If they want to go through one of the adult studies, they need to look for a group leader in their area, or they can be partnered with one of our lay counselors and go through the study online. We have clients all over the world that go through our Bible study. So healinghearts.org.
Camille, you have a happy family with three kids, and we didn't spend nearly enough time on the after, other than the good work that you're doing to help people to make better choices than you were able to make as a young person. How, just in the last minute here, speak directly to that person who is trapped in feeling as if her choices have now limited her future permanently.
I would encourage you that God's word says that he will repair the years that the locusts have destroyed. I mean, there are things that come into our life that are hard, but God is a redemptive God. He makes all things new, is what his word says in Christ. If we're in Christ, he makes all things new, and we can hold to that promise in him. But I would say to seek him out, seek out your God and seek out who he is, who Christ is, to be able to take that situation. I remember feeling the spiritual darkness in those years that I was walking, even as a Christian. And, you know, but God, he is so bright, and he is our hope, and he offers that to us in Christ. We just need to look to him and say, but God, I have made these choices. I've made sinful choices, but you have given us Christ, and you have given us the cross. And I love, we just celebrated Easter, the resurrection. I mean, that's proof. He's alive. He overcame the worst of things in the world, death. What's worse than death? Nothing. And so if Christ can conquer that, he can conquer anything that we give to him. We turn over him and say, we need you. So that's what I would encourage people who are facing a hard struggle right now, that he can do that.
Camille, thank you so much for sacrificing your time and also sharing your story with us tonight. It's just been a pleasure.
Thank you, Kim, so much. It's my pleasure as well to be with you. Thank you for having me on tonight. I appreciate it.
Links to Healing Heart Ministries International at cradlemyheart.org, and you'll also find program notes about what's coming up next week. Our guest is going to be Kirk Walden, and he is a very entertaining presence, but also someone who has raised $25 million for the Pregnancy Help Movement. What an amazing story that is. His work as a fundraiser and helping with development and helping centers to get on the right track. You are going to really enjoy his vision casting and the hope and encouragement that you will find with our guest next week, Kirk Walden. Also, I want to mention for our listeners in Georgia that there is an event that you can participate in coming up next Saturday. It's the Almost Mother's Day golf outing from Caring House in Griffin. And go to their Facebook page, or also you can find them online at caringhouse.org, and find out how you can support that great work. If you are involved in a pregnancy help center and need help publicizing, get in touch. We'd be happy to help you out with that, because that's what makes our message possible, that there are good and godly alternatives no matter how dark the circumstances or difficult they have become. Thanks for listening. Join us at cradlemyheart.org, and we'll be here for you next Sunday night. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening.